thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Season.
Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene. Before we get into our regular introduction, I'm gonna do something different. We have a special guest, so, and this guy is special to me, so I have to give him the appropriate announcement. From Moneyland Entertainment, he's 6'2". Some of you know him as King Joffy Joe, but I know him as King Al.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here, sir.
It was a pleasure. But I should introduce myself. Let me introduce myself a little bit, too. On the mic, from Zimbabwe, or Zamunda, they call him the Prince. Now he's the lead mic, Wally-O. Thank you very much. How was your day today, Alibudi?
I mean, it was good, man. It was real good. Went to work, left work.
That's always good.
Yeah.
To leave work is always a blessing.
Yeah, it was good.
All right, well, we're going to get into our tradition. The championship of the U.S. Open was on Sunday and Monday. The female were on Sunday, mm-hmm. and the men were on Monday. I think Sunday, Serena Williams lost to Stosur. You know how to say her name?
Stosur
or something. Yeah, she lost to her. But the amazing thing about it is she had like a hissy fit. Like she went crazy.
Yeah, she was upset because when Serena made a point, while the ball was in play, she screamed, and that was illegal. And, you know, black women scorn. Go figure.
What she said,
money don't change.
Yeah, but the funny part is what you said, like, you're an ugly person on the inside. She called the chair an ugly person on the inside.
Man, the funny thing was when she said, if you see me on the street, don't look at me.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, that was terrible.
She's black.
And she from Compton, right?
From Compton.
Hey.
Just because she rich doesn't mean she ain't hood.
City from Compton. On Monday, Djokovic beat Nadal again in 4 sets. I know you don't like Nadal.
No, I don't.
But it just seems that Nadal can't beat Djokovic for whatever reason it is.
Well, I mean, just like how Nadal couldn't beat Federer in the beginning, things have reversed. Just like how Nadal used to beat Djokovic in the beginning, things have reversed. I mean, Djokovic right now is the best player. And honestly, when I watch him play, I don't see anything amazing about him, but he gets the job done.
He has range.
He has
enormous range, and he can hit a winner from any angle. Usually, I thought that was like Nadal's thing.
Yes, I thought it was Nadal's thing, but they say he actually has better defense than Nadal, which was quite shocking to me.
He does. Anyway, let's talk about something else. Mayweather Ortiz is this Saturday. I know an individual who's going down there to check it out. Al, can you tell us about it?
Well, this fight is going to be pretty amazing, and also it's going to be. The fight's going to be in Vegas this Saturday, which is Latino, I believe, Mexico Independence Day, which will be real big. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere. Hopefully I can get an interview with Mayweather or Mayweather Senior for, you know, the urban sports scene. It'd be great.
Yeah, we would love it. I definitely would love that. You think Ortiz has a shot to beat Mayweather?
No, actually, I don't think he has a shot in hell. I believe he's a 6-1 underdog. And people are glorifying Ortiz because we did the Berto. Berto is a slugger. So he was able to have open holes. But if you look at Mayweather's previous fights, Mayweather boxes. I mean, so, and his defense is the best defense in boxing. So I don't really think it's going to be close. This is a tune-up, actually, for him versus Pacquiao. Pacquiao decides to take the blood test. Southpaw. That's the reason.
On Twitter, Willie Vasuda has Mayweather, says he has Mayweather winning, says he's the best in the business. Dropping bombs, says upset. Ortiz is winning. I don't see that happening.
Dropping bombs?
That's my man, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening
at all. Run Porter's run. He has Floyd. He says going to be a tough one for the first five rounds, but Mayweather will take over and dominate. He said best in the world. I don't see it being a challenge for Mayweather. Ortiz, when you see the individuals that he did struggle with, like the
Madonna,
dude, and even the local kid, even though a lot of people thought he won the fight.
Peterson. Yeah, when
he still struggled.
Split.
He still struggled. He won the fight.
He didn't win.
Well, he it was a draw, but a lot of people, you know, thought that he won the fight.
It was a draw. I mean, actually,
I thought it was a draw too, but a lot of people thought he won the fight.
That fight to me wasn't even entertaining.
It wasn't entertaining at all.
See, that's what I'm trying to tell people. Him versus Berto was an entertaining fight. But then you look at Ortiz fights, they're really not that entertaining besides a Berto fight. But then if you look at Berto fights, he's entertaining. So it's not really Ortiz that's entertaining.
No, it's Berto.
It's Berto. And I just think it's a bad matchup for him. I mean, he's young now, but he hasn't learned defense yet. He thinks he can slug with Mayweather. That's not going to happen because Mayweather's a defender.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Peterson is a boxer, and he struggled against Peterson. What do you think is going to happen when he fights Mayweather, the ultimate boxer? I don't see it happening. I think we both in agreement that Mayweather's going to win that fight. Today, Derek Fisher, who is the NBA Players Association's president, is heading to, is it New York?
They already had a talk. Okay. The signs weren't good. They said they talked, and it was no direction, no new direction where it's going to. So just like I believe it was the 90?
Oh, the year the strike? The Spurs won a championship that year.
Uh huh. What was it? 90 something?
I want to say 97.
Yeah, I want to say 97, but I think it's going down to that. I'd be shocked if they play 50 games. People don't realize the NBA season generally starts in October, and some of the players are already overseas playing.
Exactly.
So I would like to understand what do they really think is going on. And I think David Stern really dropped the ball on this one because how great the NBA was last year, and it was probably his best year since Michael Jordan. And now you're on strike. It doesn't make any sense. I know the owners want to reduce the salary cap. Well, owners already have the power regarding that to stop paying the players all this excessive money. But I don't see that happening. So this strike is going to go out for a while.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm bold enough to say that maybe they won't be a season. I think the players have so much leverage. I just can't see why how the players will yield and give the owners the power. But we'll see.
I think the owners are going to succumb.
You think so too? I agree. I totally agree. But the Minnesota Timberwolves have hired Rick Adelman. Good hire.
I didn't even realize they hired him. How can you hire a coach when you don't have a team, when you don't have a season?
I don't know. I just saw it on ESPN. It's in principle.
It's a good hire because with the team that Minnesota have, maybe they're going to make a run a little bit more. With Rubio at the point guard, is Flynn still on the team?
No, he got traded. I forgot, but he
got traded on draft day, right?
He got traded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he got traded in New York or Jersey?
I want to say it's a team I think it's the East Coast team.
East Coast team. You sure he got traded?
No, he got traded. I know he got traded.
Okay, but yeah, Rubio starting at the point.
With the Rockets.
I honestly have no idea where he got traded. But Rubio at the point, he able to run up and down. Beasley, who's a big three, who really can play down. Love, who can outlet the ball. Who your center is. Who's the center?
Darko Milicic.
Darko Milicic, but I think he's not going to start anymore. I think they're going to start Derek Williams and put Love at the five, which is a possibility when he played in college. So, I mean, it's possible. It's possible that it could be a good fit. Are they going to make the playoffs? No.
Yeah, he's used to having a small lineup.
Yeah.
You saw what he did with Chuck Hayes.
But they're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, so let's understand that.
Cool, it'll be more entertaining.
It'll be more entertaining, but how many times are they going to be on TV?
I don't know. Enough about basketball. The NFL season's officially begun. And when we get back, we'll talk about the Redskins having that great victory over the Giants.
Good Grossman.
Urban Sports Team.
You dig.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge. When we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
To listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbean.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any comments or questions, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Also, you can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is hosted by Jersey Mike Jr. and West Coast Stiller Fan. Speaking of Jersey Mike Jr., he will be leaving the Sports Crib Podcast Show. Big ups to him. We've gained a good friendship. He will be missed. Hopefully, he'll come back sometime down the road. But to the Redskins and Giants, Al, I know we both are diehard Redskins fans. I know we're excited what happened on Sunday, but what were your thoughts on the game?
Well, I thought our offense in the first quarter went well. I mean, especially the running game. I thought Grossman settled down extremely well, and after the first couple series, still threw the ball high, but the receiver was able to jump up and get it. I like to see more consistency with Armstrong, however, and Gaffney. I thought Santana played strong. I thought Fred Davis played strong.
Oh yeah, hell of a game.
I really don't like the one wide receiver set, but you know we won, so I'm gonna deal with it. I think Reed Dowdy needs to get cut.
We'll talk about it.
I think Reed Dowdy is probably our defense liability. Hopefully, Landry plays next week. We're playing Fitzgerald and the Arizona Cardinals. So you do need someone who's athletic and physical enough to attack him. If Reed's over there, it's basically one-on-one man coverage, and I don't like
Andre
that matchup
Johnson.
At all.
Andre Johnson.
Yep. What do you think about the game?
We pretty much have the same idea, man. I was very happy for what Rex Grossman did. I was scared at first because I was like he was missing receivers who were wide open, overthrowing them. It just didn't seem right. I mean, Hightower looked good off the bat, but it just didn't look good. And Reed Dowdy just like annoyed me after the first play to the second drive when he hit when Eli hit Hicks and Hakeem Nicks. And Dowdy built on a double move. And we all know Landry bites on double move, but Landry has speed that he can catch up to certain things. Reed Dowdy, once he bites on a double move, there's no way he's going to catch up to a wide receiver. So, and it seems like every big play in that game,
it was on Reed
Dowdy. So that was a fear. That was a concern of mine. But I was happy with the game, man. I was happy with the defense. Ryan Kerrigan continues to impress me. You know, a guy who played a defensive end in Purdue, a Big Ten school, who doesn't – you don't think of a DN.
You don't think of an athlete.
Yeah, an athlete playing an end in the Big Ten. Maybe mm-hmm. in the Pac-10 or the SEC. But you don't see that in the Big Ten. And for him to play at this high level, I even can say this much. He seems like he's playing in a higher level than Arakpo did his rookie year to me. But that's just me.
See, when people say that –
his first year as a linebacker. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, when they say that, I would say Arakpo started off slow. And AC, he heated up at the end. Kerrigan, he's starting off hot. So let's see if he can do it for 16 games. What I would like to mention is our offensive line towards the second half. It kind of lacked. It kind of lacked intensity. Trent Williams getting beat every single play by
Pierre Paul,
who was on the second year. And you know, I'm scared because when we play Dallas. Ware lines up wherever, and what they did with Ware against the Jets, he lined him up against the weakest opponent. And honestly, it looks like Trent Williams is the weakest opponent. And the move that Pierre Paul did, I think Ware can do way better. And I'm kind of scared with that. Hopefully, Shanahan will see something and chip him with the back because Hightower didn't really leave. He didn't leak out as much as I would have liked, you know. But our receivers were open, so I respect it. But I think. We got to work with Trent Williams and with speed rushers, and that's what Pierre Paul was.
But let's give big props to our rookies, man. Neal had 2 sacks and a forced fumble.
He was amazing.
Wasn't he?
I mean, honestly, coming out of West Virginia, never heard of him. Even when I seen him, he looked like he had short hands, short arms.
He looked small and stocky.
He looked small and stocky. But, I mean, the way he played, and I saw an interview with him on Comcast. He said I was fresh, so I knew I could be able to attack. I used all my energy, and that's what I like to hear. I like to hear, because we didn't hear that last year, I attacked and used all my energy for the short stay that I have. He reminded me of Banks. See, Banks is a kickoff returner, so that's all his job is, so it's to explode. And that's what he did. He just exploded on the offensive lineman. He pushed the center away and quickly maneuvered to Eli. You know, this was good. This was a good showing, you know, and hopefully our rookies, you know, will continue.
Yeah, and we all seen Chris Cooley. He played in this game. He contributed to this game, but do you think Chris Cooley should even play in this game, knowing that Fred Davis was there, and we both had confidence that Fred Davis would perform?
Yes, I do think he should have played. He didn't. I think they did a good job splitting the time. Cooley had 21 yards, I believe, with two receptions.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But he was a threat, and that's what the Redskins lack, is a threat. Everyone knows Santana Moss is our number one receiver. Everyone really knows Cooley is 1A.
If
Santana's 1A, Cooley's 1B.
That's true.
You know, so putting him out there would force a linebacker to go follow him and allow Fred Davis to go on a weaker linebacker. You know, and Fred Davis can beat a linebacker all day. So spreading the offense, and after watching what New England did to the Jets with the tight end.
It can be done.
And I watched it, and I understood what Kyle was trying to do. It's a matchup. I know the linebackers has to check him because I know a cornerback can't. So then I looked at it. I was like, you know what? It's okay. I mean, if Cooley's not 100%, but he knows he's not going to get every pass, but spread the field, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. After watching, and we'll get into that game, but we might as well dive into that game a little bit with the two tight ends, with Hernandez and Gronkowski.
Yes.
The way they use their tight ends gave me hope. Because at first when I thought about it, I was like, we have to get rid of one. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, but after watching that game, how they dominate with their tight ends, I think our tight ends are better than their tight ends. Hernandez is to me like, it's like Fred Davis.
Yeah,
and Chris Cooley is better than Gronkowski to me.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, when I watch them, like Brady, who I mean, I'm not a fan of Brady, he pinpoints.
He does.
And he actually tells them where to go, it was irritating to watch how ridiculously open they are. Like, Fred is open, but I think our routes are longer.
Fred's routes are longer.
But if you look at the if you look at New England, the tight end routes ain't long.
Hernandez, his routes are kind of long.
It's not that long. He breaks tackles.
That's true.
You know, when you have a cornerback, see, two tight end sets, two linebackers not going to check two tight ends. Sometimes it's going to be a cornerback checking a tight end. You're just going to overpower him. You know, like what Cooley had to catch, he broke a tackle. That's what Cooley does. You know, that's what Cooley does. You know, Fred Davis can outrun a linebacker with ease.
Yeah, and I feel like we're not doing Fred Davis. We're doing Fred Davis a big disservice. That man balled. I think he needs to be focused on this show. That man balled. He came into camp. He lost like 13 pounds or so.
Mm-hmm.
He's leaner. He's a problem. I mean, we saw this when Jim Zorn's year?
When
he scored like 10 touchdowns.
I actually thought that year that coming back that Cooley was going to get released or traded. Because he played such a high level. I mean, I do follow Fred Davis on Twitter, and he said that he was going to have a breakout game, and he was right. Unfortunately, he said he had a dance for us when he get in that end zone, and he didn't get in the end zone because I was waiting to see that dance. You know, Fred, I'm waiting.
Yeah, and big ups to Chris Cooley, man. I heard him on the radio, and it was on 106.7 The Fan, LeVar Arrington show, and LeVar Arrington and Chad Duke show. And he gave Fred Davis a lot of credit. He said that he thinks Fred Davis can be one of the best tight ends in the NFL. He doesn't just think Fred Davis is a good tight end. And we're talking about a teammate. So you can tell Chris Cooley is a caring teammate, a real teammate. And that's why I'm a big fan of Chris Cooley. I would love to have these two in D.C. But before we preview like the Arizona Cardinals game, quick question. Do you think the Giants missing all those players really impacted the game?
Yes, I totally do. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I was excited that we got to play them early. I wish we played them in New York because then we could have took advantage of that as well. I mean, you gotta realize they lost their best cornerback. They lost their rookie cornerback.
I think Webster's their best cornerback opinion.
Everyone stated that Terrell Thomas is the best cornerback, best cover cornerback. I think they lost a middle linebacker who's basically the quarterback of the defense. Tuck didn't play.
Oh, really? Usi
didn't play. So if you look at it, who dominates the Redskins?
Yeah, but see, this is my thing. I think Pierre Paul is better than Usi at this point in time in his career.
See, but here's the thing: that all of them would have played in the third down.
But would they all get the same?
All would have played on
the same down. I see your point.
Would the Redskins would have won? Who knows? But I'm glad Giants were injured.
That's true. I'll say this much. You know, for all the talk that everybody has about the Giants missing players, the Redskins missing valuable players too. we saw the impact not having LaRon Landry like impacted us. We had to play Reed Doughty, and most of the big plays that the Giants did have was pretty much predicated on what Reed Doughty couldn't do. And I think we both can agree that if LaRon Landry was in the game, some of those plays wouldn't have happened. Like that bomb to the tight end wouldn't have happened if LaRon Landry was in the game.
But here's the thing. It's football. Injuries happen. So it's not an excuse. I mean, injuries happen. You have to overcome from that. That's why you have backups. I mean, backups are supposed to come to step up. I mean, are they going to take the win away from Redskins? No. So, I mean, it's not an issue to me.
No, I'm just sick of Giants fans saying, like, that's my problem.
Giants fans, you tell them it sounds like a personal problem. That's what I tell them.
I like that one. Sounds like a personal problem. Let's dive into the Redskins-Cardinals game. I think we talked about it a little bit. What are the keys for the Redskins to win this game, in your opinion?
Well, I didn't really get a chance to look at the Cardinals defense, but just by looking at what Cam did, I'll say spread the ball. I mean, it doesn't look like, well, and stats why they stopped the run. I don't know if they ran the ball enough, but like their cornerbacks are weak. They're not playing the rookie as a starter yet. Got the kid from LSU. What's the kid's name?
Oh, Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson. They're not starting him. Adrian Wilson's not really good at cover safety.
No, but he's in the box.
Yeah, he's in the box. The pass rush is weak. So, I mean, if we just spread the ball out, I think we'll be fine. I think since it's in D.C., Hightower's playing against his teammates, his former teammates. I think Hightower needs to get the ball. And I think Hightower got – he was a little nervous, you know, second half, or the Giants, they compelled to stop the run. But I need Hightower to do what he did the first couple series. You know, cut better. You know, see the lane and cut.
Yeah, because I had a problem with that in the Giants game. I felt that Hightower in the second half wasn't hitting the correct holes. I think he was dancing just a little bit too much. But you spoke about Hightower. This is a big game playing his former team. Do you think that I've heard that he's pretty much guaranteed victory?
He did.
I heard he's pretty much guaranteed. Comcast, they say he's very bold, and he says that he's going to have a good game. It's pretty much guaranteed victory. Do you think he'll perform at a high level in this game?
I think with Arizona, I think anyone in the AFC, NFC West, we're going to perform very well offensively. I'm not really worried about our offense per se. I'm worried about our defense with Fitzgerald. We don't really play good against a top receiver, to be honest.
Last year showed.
I mean, if you look at it, if you see a top receiver, Redskins do get torched. I don't know why we don't game plan around that. The number two receiver, I'm not too concerned about, but I think we should always double team Fitz at all times. But I know in the Redskins, watch Fitz have a one-on-one matchup, and when the ball's in the air and it's Fitz versus D. Hall, Fitz versus Josh Wilson, I'm sorry to say, Fitz is going to win, unless it's pass interference and the ref doesn't call it.
Like, it's my nightmare. We saw last year Andre Johnson had Reed Doughty man on. It was a cover two. He got past D'Angelo. Wasn't past D'Angelo. Let him go. He a release, and that wasn't D'Angelo's fault. That's the zone, and Reed couldn't make a play. And Fitzgerald only had three catches last game, so I expect him to get try to get Fitzgerald involved a lot more. But other than Larry Fitzgerald, what concerns on that Cards team? What players concern you on that Cards team?
No one, to be honest. No one. I mean, Benny Wells, he's a decent running back, but I thought we did a good job against with Brandon Jacobs. So
no,
I compare Brandon Jacobs, Benny Wells, close to the same.
Oh, he's more explosive. Benny Wells is more explosive than Brandon Jacobs.
I'm just saying what I compare, but Brandon Jacobs hard to get down.
Yes, you're right. So I argue the tackling in the Giants game was excellent.
Yeah, so I'm not really concerned about him. I mean, he might get 70 yards. I'm okay with that. I mean, I think our defense is one of the most underrated defense in the league. I mean, if we have Landry at that game, you know, I just look at our defense, and we also haven't released Barnes yet. I mean, we did one cornerback blitz that I saw, but they picked it up very well. I just look at it, and, you know, Cobb is his first year starting officially. Well, second year starting officially, but first year with the Arizona Cardinals. And he's never played the Redskins yet. You know, and I'm telling you, I mean, it's gonna be fun to watch. And I think we're gonna pressure him a lot.
No, and don't forget, you mentioned a lot of players. We're missing Phillip Buchanan too. So I mean, we're a lot of players. Yeah, we're missing a lot of players.
He's out for four games. I don't even count that guy.
I'm trying to figure out what he do. I'm still trying to figure out.
They haven't said yet. They haven't disclosed. I don't know why. I mean, NFL's secretive like that.
Yeah, but on Twitter. I mean, on Facebook, Thomas Curl said Beanie Wells is another threat besides Larry Fitzgerald. On Twitter, It's Me Witches has Wells. Mastermind on Twitter, Mastermind RW has Kolb. Twitter, Twilbert has Kolb, especially if Landry's out.
Okay, let's talk about that real quick. Mm-hmm. When they're talking about Kolb, do they think Kolb's better than Eli Manning?
I think it's just. Because I don't think so. I think it's the Larry Fitzgerald factor.
See,
honestly.
But this is the thing with Eli. He torches the Redskins every year, besides last week. And Hicks and Manningham kills us normally.
Yeah, I know.
And Manningham did nothing.
I know.
I think Manningham's better than any receiver that Arizona has, other than Larry Fitzgerald.
That's true.
I don't see that as really a tough point. And also, when I look at Arizona compared to the Giants, Arizona doesn't have a tight end either. And just like the Giants, we didn't have a tight end. So I'm not scared about Arizona. You know, I'm not scared at all. I think it's gonna be a good game. I was so happy that we won by 14. I can't remember the last time we beat a team by 14 points.
No, yeah, I totally agree with you. And on Twitter, one more, Watt2384 says, basically he thinks that the Darnell Dockett, Wells, and Patrick Peterson will be players to worry about.
I clearly know that guy must be a local because Dockett, even though he makes the Pro Bowl, he really doesn't do much.
Against the Redskins?
Yeah.
He hasn't. Maybe that one game with Clinton Portis. That's the last time I remember him doing anything.
He was angry with Clinton.
I know.
I mean, that was a personal issue. Yeah. I don't think it's a personal issue now. I think he's friends with most of these guys. So I'm not really too worried about Dockett. And Dockett, what Arizona defense gave up to Cam Newton, I mean, I'm not really worried about Arizona defense.
Yeah, Big Ron, shout out to Big Ron. Said Dockett and Calais Campbell, we got to worry about him. So big ups to you. But we're Redskins fans. I don't think this is going to be a hard one. Predictions, man.
Oh, well, predictions. You talking about score? We're talking about just the game.
The game.
We're talking about the game.
Give me the highlights. Give me what you think's going to happen.
All right. Well, I think it's a 1 o'clock game.
Yes, 1 o'clock game.
Okay, I'll be in Vegas. So I'm gonna watch it though.
How you gonna do that? That's a good question.
I'm gonna do that. It's a sports book. They got every game possible.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I don't need to text you.
Nah, you don't need to. I mean, we can text back and forth.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
I'd have made a flight. If it wasn't, I'd have made a flight back on Sunday.
I got you.
Easily.
I did.
But I got the game going. Redskins 27, Arizona 13.
I got it being because I'm a fan of Redskins defense, and I feel like I think LeBron's gonna surprise us and might play this game. So I'm hoping if he does play, Redskins we're gonna get 30, Redskins 31, and the Arizona Cardinals 10.
See, if by doing that, then we're no longer a super team. You know, that's a big beating.
Yeah, I actually, due to what Killer Cam did to him, and I'm a fan of Killer Cam. But what he did to him wasn't supposed to happen. And I just don't think that defense is good. For years to me, especially on the road, that defense isn't one of the best defenses. It's not a good defense. We did a lot. We talked about Arizona and the Redskins. But when we come back from break, we'll talk about the guy who torched Arizona. I mentioned him earlier, Killer Cam Newton. And we'll be talking the first week of the NFL from when we come back from the commercial break. Urban Sports Team.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more healthy moments.
You can listen to us on the Apple G's Radio Show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit the Urban Sports Scene. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach. I was on there last Sunday. It's a good show. We talked about college football, the Michigan victory, which I will be.
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
I wasn't even asked. Vivian. Coach, what's going on?
Oh, they like you, but you don't really.
Nah, you guys don't tell me. Vivian used to text me.
Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. How about that?
Yeah, tell Vivian that, and Coach to hit me up, man.
I tell them. They like you. They do like you.
College football, man. Texas. You know how much I hate Texas? Vivian, yeah, I know.
Oh, they listen to the show, so yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Already see a response coming down.
Remember when I told you about the Bella girls? What happened?
They lost. Oh, man. But wait, I mentioned Cam Newton. Before we get to Cam Newton, last night, I guess we talked about this on before taping, but Tom Brady threw for over 500 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Dolphins last night. What did you think personally about his performance?
As a fan or as a sports analyst?
Personally, what did you think about his performance? Fan, you can be a fan. We are fans.
Nah, I'm gonna be honest. It was amazing. It was amazing. What he was able to do, dissect. I mean, I was like, what the hell am I watching? It basically was like a video game type thing. And then also, it was one play, Brady looked left, he looked right, he looked left, he looked right, he looked center, he looked left, he looked right. And he just stood there, and then he threw a deep pass. And he was like, what the hell, what am I waiting for? Let me just throw it. The Miami defense didn't put any pressure on him whatsoever. If anyone learned, the last time New England played beside Miami was against the Jets in the playoff. And they lost because of the pressure that the Jets put on them. With a top quarterback like that, you got to put pressure. And when I think it was 2 times Miami put pressure on Brady and it was an incomplete pass.
You can see.
And at one time Brady got hit and he looked at the ref. And that's one thing when Brady doesn't like is contact.
Yeah.
So if you put Brady on the ground, it changes his whole mindset. He rushes the passes, like what any quarterback would do. But you got to pressure him. And first of all, I would like to say Miami, for Vontae Davis, you need to be smacked in your face for even saying that you are
the best tandem.
Giving up 500 yards? Shame on you. It didn't make any sense at all. I mean, I was watching. I was disgusted. I was rooting for Miami. Favorite player on the team, Reggie Bush.
Chad Henning balling.
I mean, it was just upsetting to watch, man.
Chad Henning, big props. He was balling 400 yards.
He had a hell of a game.
Yeah, 400 yards. You and the Beast need to get some connections in the red zone. But, outside of red zone, it was okay.
Red zone's the toughest thing.
And with Spags, that's the name of the coach. I'm going to go by his nickname, Spags. Shame on you for real.
Is he the play caller?
He's the coach. I'm sorry.
He's the
coach. It's fourth and an inch.
Yeah, man.
Reggie Bush is notorious for leaping over a line. Look at his college tapes. Mm-hmm. He can leap. He can jump.
He's athletic.
And you could at least give him a chance. I mean, not a fade route on fourth and an inch. Yeah, that made no sense. And shame on you, but.
You do the favor on a third down.
On third, exactly. It's just stupid. Watching that game, something just like got me to my core. I couldn't understand why Chad Johnson just didn't get any playing time to me. We're talking about the best wide receiver on that team.
You're talking about Ochocinco?
Yeah, I call him Chad Johnson.
I'm sorry, his name is Ochocinco. I respect
him. No, he changed it back to Chad Johnson.
I don't believe so.
Yes, he did.
He can't
change it because it was too late.
Oh.
That's what I heard.
That sucks for him. Well, actually, he's not the best receiver on that team because the receiver has to fit that offense, and Chad doesn't fit the offense right now. I mean, Wes Walker fits the offense very well. I mean, Brent fits the offense extremely well. And the two tight ends, and I tried to tell you in preseason, Chad is way down in the depth chart. You got Wells, you got Wes Walker, you got Brent, then you got Hernandez, then you got Gronkowski, and then you got your speeder, Tate.
Slate.
I'm sorry, Slate. Tate.
It's a Slate.
They cut Tate.
Yeah, it's Slate. Tate. It's not. It's
Slater.
Slater. Sorry.
So, but if you look at it, okay, everyone serves a purpose for New England. Okay, you got Wes Walker that goes, he has his option routes. You got Brant can go in and out of routes very quickly. You got Hernandez and Krause as possession receivers. You got Slater, the deep route.
Slater,
the deep route. You got Chad. You just have Chad.
He doesn't have a role yet. He just have Chad.
It's okay because they don't have to play Chad because they'll have good. They'll have a good season. But when they get to the playoffs, when they play the Jets, and they, you know, they clamp on because you're gonna need a playmaker. That new New England system worked years ago. It doesn't work anymore. That thing doesn't work anymore. When you're gonna need a playmaker at the wide receiver position. There's gonna be Wes Walker. Those 5-yard routes that he runs, good tackling teams are in the playoffs, and it will be stopped. So it's okay. That you don't have to play Chad. If you want to win the Super Bowl, play Chad. If you don't, if you want to have the best record in the AFC, go for it. Without a championship, go for it. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm just salty because Chad's on my fantasy football team. And I'm salty, too, that Reggie Bush is on my fantasy football team, and he couldn't get a Reggie Bush leap. I don't know if I'm not the biggest Reggie Bush fan, but damn it, I'm a Reggie Bush fan this year. After putting $250 in a fantasy league, damn it, I want Reggie Bush leaving for many touchdowns, and I want Chad Johnson in the game now. That's all I'm saying. I'm a little salty.
Bush had 92 yards, 92 total.
Oh, he had a good year. He had 26, but I lost. I lost this week.
26 points? I only
no, on mine, they do some other stuff.
Yeah, but Reggie Bush, he had 92 total yards. I think they got away from the run. Third quarter.
Oh, you know why, though?
Yeah, they were down.
And Big Albert started balling.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I mean, you're trying to make Reggie Bush an inside runner. That's fine and dandy, but you got to still give him some spread. Some spread looks and, you know, some cutbacks, like some counters. You got to do something. You just can't do a dive or a slam or blast every play.
Yeah.
You got to be flamboyant with Bush.
How many tosses did they do?
They did one toss and it was a bad. It was a miscommunication. Bush went one way, Henny went another. Then he tossed it to him.
They
Bush
fumbled. Yeah, that's
fumbled. Bobbled it and fumbled it. So I mean, it wasn't in sync, but. I think Bush needs to have a little bit more stretch plays.
11 carries isn't enough. That's my thing. You know, it's not enough. He had 11 carries.
11?
11 carries. Not enough. 11 carries for 38 yards. It's not enough. You know.
He had more than 38.
Huh?
No, you're right.
Yeah. He had 56 yards in the air.
56?
Yeah, 56 yards. So Reggie Bush should get more carries. I totally agree with Al. He should get more carries. He came to Miami to be a playmaker. And be a force. And 11 carries isn't enough. If you in the beginning of the game, he was running between the tackles. And he looked good, honestly. He looked really good. So I think Reggie Bush, in his first game, is in being to me a quote unquote featured back. I thought he produced. He played well. Played well, especially because you know what the game involved in terms of the lack of carries and. Decided to be more of a spread offense and things of that sort. But I like what Reggie Bush had to do. I'm hoping that, you know, next week when they play, I think they play an easier opponent, obviously. They play Houston, which I'm not really big on the defense. So I think Reggie Bush can have a good game against Houston. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But let's go to the New England Patriots side of the ball, defense side of the ball. Former Redskin Alvin Haynesworth. You know, we had all the hoopla over here. You know, him laying down that big Eagle in that Eagles game on Monday night. And the Shanahan, him and his feud with Shanahan, he looked good to me. He looked like a dominating force in New England.
He didn't look dominant. I mean, he didn't look like he was in Tennessee, but he's getting there. He's getting there with more reps. People don't realize he's strong. I mean, honestly, he's strong. I mean, that's what's known about him. I think they're working him in little by little because you know he did miss a lot of preseason. But Albert, he's going to be a menace, and I think eventually. New England's going to have one of the best rush defense. The secondary is still kind of shaky to me.
Yeah,
but
shout out Lee Bond, one of the best corners in the
NFL. Catch the ball.
I know, I text him too.
Yeah. What did he say?
He said he should have had it.
You damn right he should have had it. Man. I mean, he should have at least had one pick. He had zero last year because he was injured. You know.
Yeah.
I was kind of upset that he tackled Bush too. I thought Bush was going to break it.
that was a good tackle, Lee.
I'm going to be honest. I was upset.
Lee, that was a real good tackle too.
I don't care. My man from childhood, but still, Damn it, I need a push.
I ain't gonna lie, man. Fantasy job. I was kind of mad. I was like, at first I screamed. I was like, yeah, Lee. Then I was like, $250 though.
Yeah, but when I look at it, you know, they're playing a lot of it. The cornerbacks are fairly young, besides Lee. I mean, the cornerbacks are fairly young. The secondary is young as well. The linebackers, they really don't cover very well. So I just look at the secondary is going to be the weak link, like it was last year. But I mean, with an offense like that, you can give up points.
Yeah.
You know, you give up points. But I think the run defense, and that's the thing that when New England stops a team, you know that they're going to score. So now they're a catch up. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for teams to outscore New England.
The only thing I would say, just to argue that point about the secondary, is that D line to me is going to be so strong that it's going to help out the secondary. Vince Wilfork and Alvin Hainsworth, that's going to make the D line. They won't have to be in coverage that long. I think the pressure will be. And Andre Carter played well too.
He's good in the 4-3.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like Vince Wilfork is not a pressure guy.
But he's going to take space
though. He claws the run.
Mm-hmm.
Hainsworth pressures. I don't know who's that other end though.
Number 50. I can't say his name.
I don't know. I think that they're gonna put pressure, but Henning had time.
Oh, he had time.
That's what I'm saying. Like Henning has time. And see, since they're not running a 4-3 anymore, it's not. You know who you're blocking.
But to be honest with you, Miami does have one of the best lines in football.
They do. You're right. They do have a good offensive lineman. But like I said, I think when they got Hainsworth and they got Carter and some other people, and they got Ellis. I think all that was for the Jets.
Yeah, they're trying to steal from the Jets.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think that team was basically was for the Jets. You brought them in because you know all the Jets do is run, and you know Sanchez really he's not Peyton Manning, so you can stop him playing this coverage, but it's the running game that slows down, it doesn't get the ball to Brady. And now the offense feel they need to speed up. So I think that was for the Jets. Everyone else, they're okay. Well, and the Steelers.
Yeah, that's true. You just mentioned
actually the Ravens.
Yeah, that's true. You just mentioned Brady, who was probably, I believe, was he a fifth round pick?
No, he was like
sixth round pick. Well, he's far different from Cam Newton, who was the first pick overall, first round pick. And there was a lot of negative talk about Cam Newton, how he performed. Well. Against the Arizona Cardinals, which we did mention, he showed off.
Yeah, he got loose. He got loose. I don't know what he drank before the game, but he should keep on drinking it.
Yeah.
Because what you saw from preseason is nothing near what happened in the game. And I believe Shockey said this. He said some players are gamers, and some people aren't. Cam is a gamer. He said, like during practice, he might be off a little bit, but during the game, he steps up. I mean, what he did, there's no one. I don't care if you live in Carolina. It's going to say that you thought he was going to throw 400 yards.
Yeah.
Absolutely no one. Someone probably say he's going to run for 400 before he say throw for 400.
That's true.
I mean, with Cam, he impressed me. His poise. You couldn't tell that he was a rookie. And I think Rivera, the head coach, right?
Yeah.
I think he did a great job saying that Cam was going to be the starter.
Yeah, and in hindsight.
I mean, because I'm a fan of Clawson, but he wasn't nothing like this.
Yeah.
So I feel sorry for Clawson because now he's definitely lost the job. But Cam, what Cam did was amazing. Now he just has to continue it, with a bad team. Because they did lose to Beeson.
They had to Beeson the whole year.
Yeah, for the whole year. So. And that's the quarterback of the defense.
Yeah, that's wild because they just lost. Yeah. Last year lost Tommy. They lost Davis.
Yeah, and Tommy Davis
was a beast.
He's not even healthy. He's 100% yet.
Yeah, and
I think
he's
still playing, but 100%.
And then you lost Beeson.
Who just signed a big contract.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Carolina is going to be bad this year. I don't care what people say.
They're going to be bad. Well, at least we know they're not in the luck sweepstakes.
Nah, it doesn't look like
that.
It's only 1 week.
Well, it was only 1 week. You're right.
It's only 1 week.
But I think it saved them a lot of time. But yeah. I'll say this in terms of, in this game, what impressed me other than Cam in that game was Steve Smith. I think, like Roy Jones said in that rap, y'all must have forgot. Because that
did.
Man.
I did.
Because that man showed that he's still a dog.
Yeah,
he's not just, he's not a top 15 wide receiver. He showed that he's still, pound for pound, what is probably the best small wide receiver in the game. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's the best small wide receiver in the game.
I'm upset with myself. Because he was out there on fantasy. I ain't gonna lie. He was out. He slipped because of Cam. Dang. I should have got that kid.
And I always said this, man. If Jake DeLong could throw to Steve Smith, Killer Cam can do it too. That's how I felt. I didn't get him. I tried to. People snatched him up before I could. But do you think in the game against Arizona, they threw the ball a lot more?
Too much.
So do you think for them, they can win games doing that?
No. See, that's the thing. I think what Cam did was outstanding. I think because he was so hot, they just let him rock with it.
But people forget they got two good running backs. And, you know, DeAndre Williams didn't really get enough touches, and Jonathan Stewart didn't get enough touches either. And, like, that's what I was lost with, was, like, when I saw the stats, I was like, did someone get injured? You know, that's my first thought. I was like, either they were down tremendously because they didn't run the ball. And I think Carolina can make win more games if they run the ball. And even if Cam has bad games. But I think that if they run the ball and if the game is close, Cam can make them win.
Even to your point, just think about it. When Carolina has the most success as a franchise is when they do what?
Run the ball.
I mean, when they won that Super Bowl.
They didn't win the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm sorry, I apologize. When they went to the Super Bowl.
Davis and Foster.
You know what I mean? Then the year. That was a great one. That was a very good 1-2 punch. And then the year they, I think, had the best record in the NFC, or one of the best records in the NFC. Right. They had, it was smashing Dash. That's the name they call him. D'Angelo Williams and this team, the duo that's currently on the roster, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. And like you said, in this game, 12 carries for 30 yards isn't good enough. 7 carries for 26 yards for Stewart isn't good enough. You need to feed these dudes. I guarantee it, it would be much easier for Cam Newton to do more damage if you got this running game going. You know, I think that was a big issue.
But I think also what the Cardinals did was they put 8 in the box.
I know. That's what I was thinking too.
They did put 8 in the box, so they allowed Cam to have 1-on-1. So if Carolina defense can step up, I mean, Carolina can win some games, but I mean, they're in a tough division, unfortunately.
But so, at least though, you know, if you look at last year, they competed with a lot of those teams in the division.
Yeah, they competed, but I'm saying they're in a tough division.
They are. I mean,
to make the playoffs. But I think they're probably one defensive player away. I mean, not one
wide receiver away.
I mean, they need supporting receiver. That's like for 3 years, 3 or 4 years. They needed support.
They've been trying to do this for years, though.
Yeah. So after Muhammad retired, they were screwed.
Yeah, that's the truth. Ain't that the truth? We just talked about the first round pick, Cam Newton, this year. Years ago, there was a great quarterback with the first pick overall named Peyton Manning. Didn't miss a game. Well, look at him now. He's missed a game, and the Colts are suffering. On Sunday, they got blown out by the Texans, and it wasn't even close. I have this question. Are the Colts really that bad,
yeah,
or was it just a bad day?
No, they're really that bad. Well, commentators have been stating for a while, and which I'm glad people are realizing, the Colts built their team around one player. There's no team that actually has done that before. It's only the Colts. And they were able to do that because Peyton Manning never got injured. Their defense is even built around Peyton Manning. They're built around a pass rush. They're basically telling you our offense is going to outscore yours, and so you're going to have to throw the ball. I mean, who does it? They never got any good D tackles. I mean, no one who stops the run. Dwight Freeney, all he does is go after the quarterback. You can do a draw on him every play. Same thing for Mathis. It's pretty bad. I mean, they never cared about their running back. He's decent. But the thing is, he's not used to running the ball. He's used to catching.
Yeah, he actually had a good game. I'm average wise.
Yeah, but he didn't. He's not used to. He's not. All right, for Peyton Manning to go down, they need a back that carry at least 30 times.
You're right.
What's the 1-2 punch at?
Yeah, what happened to Donald Brown?
You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like they're not built. They're not built to survive without Peyton Manning. And their offense, you can't have a backup coming at all because their offense is built on a no huddle. Kerry Collins did a huddle every play.
Yeah.
I mean, it you can't blame him.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. This is a question you pretty much almost answered. Are they in the – well, we know about David Robinson and Tim Duncan, that effect.
When David Robinson got injured.
Yeah.
And then the Duncan, then Spurs somehow get
Tim Duncan,
best player in college, Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Greed.
If you all don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about Tim Duncan for the San Antonio Spurs, who will be a Hall of Famer, and David Robinson,
who's
already in the Hall of Fame. David Robinson went down that whole year, and Tim Duncan and the Spurs finished with the worst.
There wasn't the worst team. Boston.
He's right. That's right. They were probably because Boston tried to tank it too.
They didn't try. They did tank.
Boston tanked it. The Boston Celtics tanked it. I think the Spurs probably were the second worst team in the NBA. Second or third, something like that. And then, you know, eventually they got lucky in the lottery and they landed
and
Tim
Boston
Duncan.
Boston was pissed.
And yes, Boston was pissed. But this situation here, luckily the NFL doesn't have a lottery. If the Colts finish with the worst record, they have an opportunity to get Andrew Luck. Can you see Andrew Luck being a Colt?
Yeah, I read one article and they did say that Peyton would give way to Luck.
I really understand what that meant, but Peyton, first couple of years, he's getting paid buku money, and then after that, he's not. So, I mean, he could be expendable, but I will say they probably would get Luck. I mean, honestly, they say Luck is the smartest Peyton Manning, so he could probably run that offense. Would I take him if I was number one pick?
Yeah.
Peyton can't play forever.
That's true, and you get to learn from the best.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton can't play forever. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with that. You say, all right. And plus, also, people don't know how Peyton's going to come back with an injury because he's never been hurt
before.
It's
a neck injury. It's serious.
Yeah, and he's never been hurt before. And the thing is, Peyton didn't even want to do the surgery. He asked 12 doctors.
Peyton is OC.
Because he wanted to play.
I know, Peyton's OC.
Peyton really wanted to play, and he consulted with 12 doctors, and they said, you got to do it. And then what he did, he took the harder surgery because he wants to come back quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's going to be a lot of pain with this recovery. I mean, the guy loves football so much, but, I mean, sometimes you got to care about your health.
I know, you got to care about yourself, definitely. But, you know, let's go back to the Texans. Are you surprised? I mean, we talked about, you know, Mario Williams having to stand up. I was surprised. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Mario Williams having to stand up, thinking that would screw his game up because he's a big boy, actually. He's a big boy. Now he's been playing linebacker. He's going to be a linebacker, basically, outside linebacker.
Okay.
But are you surprised that 3-4, the Texans 3-4 looked that good, or especially Mario Williams looked that good in the 3-4?
Okay. I wasn't surprised. Their coach is Phillips. Phillips, who's actually a hell of a defensive coach. The 3-4, to be honest, this 3-4 has been changed so much. He still puts his hand on the dirt. He still does. I mean, how many times does he cover someone? It's rare. He ran a good speed for his size.
He was, sure
so
did.
So there is nothing shocking to me about him having a good. Only thing is, he has to check tight ends, so maybe 4 times a game. It's his own blitz. He's done it before. Like that's what I'm saying. Like it's not shocking. It's not really shocking. And honestly, he might have more sacks
because they're rotating them.
Yeah,
they're rotating them
from side to side.
Even in the middle.
And the thing is, with a 3-4, it confuses the offensive line. It's not really the quarterback that's confused. It's the offensive line because the offensive line got to set up their blocking right there and then. But you don't know who's rushing.
I mean, it can't be surprising. I mean, it was surprising to me just because in Washington, Andre Carter couldn't do it. And I know Mario Williams is far better than Andre Carter, but I was thinking to myself, a guy who's that big and who's so talented in rushing the passer now has to stand up and be in coverage. He would struggle. But Mario Williams is younger. He's a better player. And as we see in that game, having 2 sacks and a forced fumble, that man, he's a beast. He's just a beast. But after seeing this victory over the Colts, I know it's early, but do you see the Texans winning the AFC South?
Yeah, well, East. That is the weakest division in NFL. Well, sorry, NFC West is. This is the second
weakest. San Fran's winning that division.
It's the second worst division. And also, when you look at it, the coach knows if they don't make the playoffs, he's fired.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of pressure on him.
So to be honest, but look at it. This is the best year he could do it. Jacksonville, they fired.
They suck.
Yeah, but look, this is breaking down. Jacksonville, they let go of their starting quarterback at the end of preseason. Peyton Manning's out, probably going to be out up to week 8 minimum.
And the Tennessee Titans?
Tennessee Titans, come on, give me a – that's just a joke. I mean, that's the 4, right?
That's it.
Now let's look at the Texans. They got Max Schaub, Pro Bowler. Adrian Foster, who's
Arian Foster, who's Ben
injured.
Tate, who do the same thing.
One of the best receivers, Andre Johnson, one of the best most underrated offensive line. What they have, they got a good tight end. The defense is good. Besides the secondary, which is improving. Which is improving.
With Joseph,
the linebacker core is strong. Manning at safety has gotten better. They're picking up Manning at safety, and their special team is outstanding.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by far, on paper.
All right. You're doing something wrong. You ain't shout out your man. We know you're a USC fan. Shout out your
Kush?
Man.
Kush? I didn't want to bring up Kush. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to bring up Kush because, you know, Kush does what he does. Cushing is outstanding. You know, people forget that he was the rookie of the year 2 years ago. It was unfortunate he didn't make the Pro Bowl last year because of allegations. But this year,
what allegations?
I don't know.
Shooting up?
I mean, allegations. I mean, clear as day. I mean, that it was nonsense. But this year, he will, and I'm going to say this again, he will make the Pro Bowl, and he might be Defensive Player of the Year. I'll say it now. Brian Kushner, Defensive Player of the Year.
Mario wins Defensive Player of the Year.
USC. USC.
They still got DeMarco Ryans, too.
Yeah, DeMarco Ryans having. They don't really talk about him.
He's a beast.
You know what he is? He's like Fletcher.
Yeah, I know.
He's like Fletcher. He just tackles. He's not flashy. I mean, I like
DeMarco Ryans.
But he's good. But he was smart in college. He's smart in Alabama. I mean, he was outstanding in Alabama. He was just undersized like Fletcher. You know?
Yeah, but which game or performance which we haven't spoken about that impressed you or you want to talk about?
Which week one?
Which one game?
Just a game in general?
Yeah, or even a player's performance.
It's going to be tough. I mean, I thought the Jets versus the Dallas game was a good game.
Yeah.
Was a good game. I thought Dallas set a tone when they first scored initially in the first drive. I thought it was kind of shocking, but the Jets came back strong and locked them down. And I thought the matchup between Revis and Dez Bryant was outstanding. Dez Bryant had one catch, and then Revis put him on in the island. So I thought it was outstanding.
But you know what's so stupid about it? I felt like they was wasting Revis on Dez Bryant because Dez Bryant was hurt. I thought Revis should have been on Miles and took him out the game.
Now, see, here's the thing. Because I was reading before the game started. They said Cromartie was going to start off on Dez Bryant and Revis was going to go on Austin because they thought Austin was the number one receiver.
Yeah.
They said if Dez starts getting off, they're going to switch it. Dez caught a pass and broke it for a long period. We just scored a touchdown on Cromartie, and they was like, okay, Revis, go on him.
Yeah.
I thought Cromartie did a good job on Austin. He just didn't.
Yeah, he did a great job on Austin.
He did a good job on Austin. He just got got manhandled.
He didn't finish.
The ball.
He just didn't finish.
The ball was taken from him. So, when I look at the Jets secondary, it's strong.
Yeah, strong secondary.
It's strong. I mean,
Miami.
Yeah, that was a joke. Even Revis laughed at that one.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good game. I thought with McKnight, USC, when he blocked that, punt. I mean, that's how the Jets win. But I was kind of upset with the way they were using Sanchez, USC. They were making him feel like he was Peyton Manning, and I didn't like that. I thought they should have ran the ball more and allowed him to do what he does best, was play action and bootlegs, you know, and spread out the offense because he was throwing the ball too much. But I'm glad they won, you know, because I'm a Mark Sanchez fan, and I think he's going to go over. He's going to take him to the Super Bowl.
You're the man. You're the man now.
USC all day, baby. Love you.
But
a team
for me that stuck out for me, I think that set a tone and made a point to the NFL and a lot of the experts with the Chicago Bears. I think the Chicago Bears proved the point that they were a real good team. I think a lot of people have discounted the Bears, like, you know, their defense isn't that good. Like Jay Cutler isn't a capable quarterback. I don't like Jay Cutler, but he's a capable quarterback. You know, we had talks about the wide receiving core, but they show, I guess, Atlanta, which a lot of people think that is a Super Bowl contender, that team, that the Chicago Bears, you still got to go through Chicago to do something. And that team is a strong team. Honestly, that NFC North is a problem.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to say I do agree with the Chicago Bears. I really wasn't trying to watch that game as much. Because, like, when I was watching, honestly, the Bears don't intrigue me, Cy Hester. I don't even know how they beat them like that, honestly. The Bears' defense, it amazes me that it's still that good. It does. I mean, Peppers is outstanding. I mean, Peppers is, he's a freak. But everyone else, I mean, it's like,
Urlacher's a beast. I think he's the most underrated, great middle linebacker in the game.
I think he gets his credit. I look at the secondary, Tillman.
That's why I agree with you.
Come on,
the
man.
Secondary sucks to me. I don't know what it's good about.
Strong.
But it works, though.
It works. So, you know, like I said, Lovie Smith is a good coach. I mean,
yeah, he is a good coach.
I don't think people talk enough about him. I think Forte is a good running back. I don't think people talk about him.
Yeah.
You know, I thought them trading Olsen would hurt him. I was wrong for week one. It didn't hurt him at all.
They don't use tight ends. That's why.
Yeah, but I thought it was going to hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't. Atlanta, I was never high on Atlanta anyway. I think Matt Ryan is so overrated, it's ridiculous.
You know what? And I'm starting to almost see your point. I said this before the season started. When you have weapons like Julio Jones, Roddy White,
Tony
Tony Gonzalez, Michael Turner. There are, like, even Drew Brees, who I might not like the most, that is more talent. That what I just named is more talented in terms of skill positions than the New Orleans Saints. And yeah. Matt Ryan couldn't dominate the Chicago Bears. That's too much offensive firepower on that Chicago Bears team. I mean, excuse me, on that on Atlanta team, not to score, but what, 12 points?
Here's the thing. With Matty Ice, whatever they call that nonsense, is that they're giving him too much power. They're trying to make him Peyton Manning. He's not. They're trying to make him Brady. He's not. Let him play his game. Let the running game dictate the flow of the offense and then go from there. And like I said, that's what they did with Sanchez. And I think that's what they did with Freeman as well. I think they all came out the same year.
No, not Freeman. Freeman came out a couple years.
No, Freeman Sanchez came out the same year.
Oh, maybe they did come out the same year.
No, but I think Matty Ice.
He's the first pick, so I'm trying to figure out.
I think was it.
No, no, he wasn't the same year. It couldn't be the same year. Stafford was the same year. Sanchez and Freeman.
When I look at that, I think that they're making these quarterbacks become the leaders of the team. They really aren't. I think like with Tampa Bay. It was that Blunt was running well. That it was a balanced offense. With the Jets, it was more of a run heavy offense. With Atlanta, it was run first, play action, you know, slants here and there. But now they're saying Matt Ryan, we're gonna give you the keys to the Ferrari. No, just park it.
Just park it and let Michael Turner drive it.
Yeah, let Michael and work the offense like it's been going. And you know, don't speed up the game. And that's what they were trying to do. They're trying to speed up the game. I don't know why.
Man, you said it well. There's nothing for me to add, but we did a lot of talk about week one. After the break, we'll highlight a couple of big games next week. Who? Just tune in after the break. Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. Biz Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene because you never know who's listening.
Well, we're running a little long in time, but so we're gonna change it up. Al, for week two, what do you think is like the most intriguing game?
Think going back home, big versus Atlanta. I think what Michael Vick is gonna do is gonna be a pretty amazing. I don't know. Is this a primetime game?
It's on Sunday night.
Sunday night?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I got goosebumps. It's going to be amazing. I mean, Vic, I don't really care for Atlanta, but this Vic. I love Vic. I ain't going to lie. He's great.
Yeah, as a Redskin fan, we wanted him in D.C. We said that year. We really wanted him in D.C. I think Vic's going to perform at a high level. I don't think if you look at it like this, it's going to be on AstroTurf. It's Atlanta. Track the team, the Eagles we saw against the St. Louis Rams are very fast. So you're going to have DeSean Jackson, Shady McCoy, Michael Vick, Macklin, Avant, who's not talked about. There's Avant, who's not speed, but he's a good possession wide receiver. But there's a lot of speed on that team. And Vick in Atlanta, I can't see him playing bad.
And people, to be honest, the fans still love him.
They do.
Still love him. So it's a homecoming.
And after playing that horrible game against the Bears, which I mentioned earlier, you would say this is a must win for New Orleans, wouldn't you say?
In the division.
I mean, for Atlanta, sorry. Period. Yeah. A must win. You almost fall 0-2.
You fall 0-2 in the NFC. NFC, yeah. This is a must win because you go 0-2 in that strong division that they're in. They're in the division of the Saints and
the Bears. I'm not saying the Bears. The Saints. I'm sorry. The Saints, Carolina, and Tampa.
Well, actually, I'm not going to say it's a must-win.
But for playoff hopes, though, because there's going to be a lot of good teams.
I'm not going to say it's a must-win because the Saints, they lost the game, and so did Tampa Bay. They lost the game as well. So you go 0-2.
That's true.
You still get to play them twice. So it's not a must-win, but for the fans, you know, you got to realize, you know, you moved up to get Julio Jones. So you're saying something.
So do you think in this game, we talked about Michael Turner, do you think in this game Michael Turner will be featured more or they'll still do the same thing?
I would think they need to because Philadelphia's strong point is secondary. Their D-line is weak against the rush, even though Mike Peterson came back and Cullen Jenkins is there. But they definitely need to run the ball to set up the play action where Santi Samuel bites on every time.
Because we saw in that St. Louis game what – Cadillac Williams did, and before that, we saw what Steven Jackson did. Were you having your fantasy team or something?
I got him a couple of my teams, man. Still got me 11 points, but dang, now I'm screwed at running back.
So, I mean, let's get into it. What do you think Vic's going to do, and give me a prediction of the outcome of the game with Vic in terms of how he dominates, if you feel like he's going to dominate this game.
I think Vic's going to have over 200 yards passing. I say, like, maybe 250, probably 100 yards rushing, 2 TDs in the air, 1 TD in on foot. The game probably 24.
I like that score. 31-24. I think Vic will pull out the victory. I'm going to give you some drama with it. It's going to be 20-20. 2 minutes left in the game. Vic will be driving. Vic's going to break. He's going to break it. He's going to score a touchdown. Probably a 30-yard touchdown and win the game. He's going to do it in style because that's how Vic does things.
That's Manny Ice's type thing. Man, he's a comeback player.
Vic's going to do it. He did it with Atlanta when he did that long run in Minnesota. I can see it happening in this game. And also, you'll see Julio Jones score his first touchdown. I'm a fan of Julio Jones. No, I'm just a fan of Julio Jones. Okay. I love Julio Jones. So Julio Jones will have a touchdown in this game, propelling him to great wide receiver status. Wow. Yes.
You reaching, Charlie.
Now, one of the best wide receivers to ever play this game will be Julio Jones.
I hear you talking.
You hear me talking?
I hear you talking.
All right, we did enough NFL talk. Lord, I'm tired. My brother's tired. But when we get back, we're going to talk about college football and the great matchups over the weekend, especially my Wolverines defeating Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish.
They're not fighting.
Yeah, they're not fighting at all. Good job, Denard. When we come back from commercial break, Michigan, go blue! Urban Sports Scene.
Good day.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Yeah, I just got cursed out on a commercial break with my brother by not mentioning USC wide receiver. So please,
Robert Woods, follow him. Heisman Woods, USC all day, fight on Trojan.
You know, we're just having a discussion about who's the best wide receiver in college. So I apologize. Sorry, Oliver.
I don't forgive
you. It's okay. Man, anyway, before the commercial break, I just talking about the great comeback victory by the Michigan Wolverines against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Call it a classic. I would say an ESPN classic, but maybe that's just me.
No, it's definitely ESPN
classic. Yeah, okay. And
because it's scoring in less than 2 minutes.
It's payback for the Rocket for running that long return against us when we thought we had the game. I remember that one. I cried. But anyway, what did you learn from that game, Olive Woody?
You cried. I don't remember that as a shot.
I think I threw a temper tantrum.
You might have broken control like you normally do.
Yeah, yeah, those were the days.
What I thought about the game, I really didn't watch most of it because I was watching USC. But all the highlights, it was an outstanding game.
You got my text?
What? You lost your voice.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were watching the game.
I was watching after the game was over, but I didn't watch the majority of the game.
Oh, okay.
I thought everyone was telling me that it was an outstanding game, you know. When I was flipping back and forth, you know, Notre Dame should have won to me. I mean, but like I said, I've always said, Kelly's a horrible coach. I mean, for real.
He's a horrible guy.
He is a horrible guy. What he did to his starting quarterback.
Cincinnati.
What he did to his starting quarterback week one when he cursed him out. And no one really needs to talk to him about that because it's a Catholic school. That's frowned upon.
He's losing it.
He's losing. And honestly, he knows he's about to get fired. And it's Urban Meyer's coming in probably next year and changes his whole offense again. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But for them to lose to Michigan, and then before that, they lost the first game. It was to South Florida.
Yeah.
South Florida to Michigan. Then they're probably going to lose to Michigan State. To go 0-3, it's not looking pretty.
Not in South Bend.
Not South Bend.
Not cool at all. Yeah. I'll say this much. I'm gonna go back and forth. I have it on my production notes about Kelly, but since you did mention it, might as well talk about it. I don't think he can handle being in South Bend. Obviously, it was a dream job for him, and he wanted it so bad. He dissed his kids in Cincinnati, and he came here. But even in the Michigan game, he was kirking out.
You know, that's my problem with Kelly. He's just not fit for, you know, a big school, and not a lot of coaches are. I mean, you look at, you know, Texas. You look at Michigan, you look at Notre Dame, you look at USC, you look at Alabama. Not every coach can go to those schools because it's so much pressure there that, you know, if you lose one game, they want some of the boosters want you fired. And Notre Dame, he's not doing real well with the kids. He's not boosting, not bringing up their spirit. You know, it's too much pressure on them. And Notre Dame has to be relevant. They have to be relevant. I mean, to continue with that contract they got with NBC, they got to be relevant. He's not doing a good job.
Yeah, and to stick on the Notre Dame theme, now, I watched Malcolm Kelly in that game. Malcolm Floyd in that game impressed me a lot. And I've seen him play, but I've seen him play with Golden Tate. And I was thinking, like, yeah, him and Golden Tate are a good duo. And they really work good together. But now him by himself, he just seems like he's, like, the best college wide receiver just to me. And I know we had this discussion. You told me before when we were on break, who you felt was the best wide receiver. But just tell me about Malcolm Floyd. What do you think about Malcolm Floyd?
He's a big receiver. He has great hands. He's great with after the catch. Only thing is, I don't know if he's really that fast. Tate was the speedster. Floyd was the red zone. Throw it up there, I'll get it. I think he's gonna be good in the league. You know, but like I said, like I was telling you. You know, they got two receivers already that said they're better than them. The Oklahoma State kid, Blackman, and also South Carolina kid, Austin Jeffrey, who should have went to USC, who screwed us. But that's okay.
But let me get away from Notre Dame. You know, they're depressing. You know, them losing games, Kelly being fired. You know, I'm not a Notre Dame fan anyway, so I don't really care for them. But back to my Wolverines. Obviously the culture change, Brady Hoke. Phenomenal coach, one of my favorite coaches of all time. Who do you think is a better place for Michigan, the Brady Hoke era, or the Rodriguez guy era?
Rodriguez only had like 2 years.
Yeah, because he sucked so hard. I'm just asking you a question.
This is Hoke's first year. I'm sorry.
His first year has already in two games. It's already been great.
I
it's one of the greatest two games I've ever seen in my life.
I'm sorry. I can't answer that. I think that's ridiculous.
Are you serious?
I think I was biased.
Are you serious? Yeah. You know who wrote the notes? A Michigan fan. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I would. Okay, let me ask the question. Since I wrote it, let me read it how I read it. How I wrote it. Are the Wolverines better with Hoke compared to Rodriguez? Now, Wally, I want you to answer the question. Yes, they're a lot better. Obviously, they're a lot better. Rodriguez, I'm sorry, you suck. That 3-5-5 defense was the worst defense ever to bring into Michigan, into the Big Ten. Brady Hoke gave us a pro-style image again. God bless Brady Hoke. And God bless America for giving us Brady Hoke. Brady Hoke. I mean, I've never, in that game, when Notre Dame went for it, had a 3rd-and-1 or even went for it, 4th-and-1, we stopped them. I was like, wow, I never seen a stop in 3 years. I haven't seen a stop on 3rd-and-1. I didn't know they still existed with Rodriguez. I didn't know you could actually stop somebody behind the line of scrimmage. I thought that every run is a 20 to 50 yard run. Who knew that you could actually stop a run? Thank you. Thank you, Brady Hoke, for coming to Michigan. I wanted Jim Harbaugh so bad. You screwed me, Jim. You really did. You screwed me with San Francisco. I'm still pissed at it, but I'm still loving you in San Fran. You're one of my favorite coaches. But Brady Hoke is one of the best coaches of all time. I like him more than Shanahan. I like him more than a lot of coaches. He's second to Joe Gibbs. I like this Joe Gibbs, and then it's Brady Hoke. That's just my opinion. There you go. I'm so happy for it. But away from Michigan, let's go to Auburn and Mississippi State. Another great game. I think Auburn won that game 34-41 on a goal line stand. How do Auburn do it? How do they keep winning lucky games?
I don't know. God's praying. I mean, God loves them. That game against Mississippi State was sloppy. That stand, you know, it was amazing. I thought it was bad coaching. I don't know why they ran it. I thought they could have threw it, you know, and then run it again. They had time. But, you know, Auburn won. And they're ranked currently 21. Reason why they shouldn't be higher because they don't win with any style points. Yeah, no style points, and they're barely winning, and they're playing in the SEC, which is the best conference in the nation. So, you know.
But that's the thing about Auburn, like this game with Mississippi State. I'm trying to figure out how they won the game. I was looking in the stats. You're better. I didn't see the game, but you know more about college football than I. Ballard had 135 yards. The quarterback, Ralph, had 106, and even the backup running back had 78 yards, Perkins. How do you lose a game when you rush that well? How do Mississippi State lose that game? That's sheer dominance.
Like I said, God. Auburn is still doing good because...
I'm a dire sweet.
I mean, they believe. Blake had a good game as well. Mm-hmm. The wide receiver, the son of... What's Blake's first name? The Cincinnati coach, Cincinnati quarterback.
Cincinnati quarterback.
Yeah, he was black. Blake, he had an arm, number 9.
Oh, Blake, Jeff Blake?
Jeff Blake, the son of...
Oh, that's his son?
Yeah, son of Jeff Blake.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Blake had a great arm.
Yeah.
He was a sorry quarterback, but great arm.
Yeah, he was horrible.
Great. Yeah, he was horrible. Mm-hmm. Well, do you think... Oh, well, you talk about their rank. Do you believe they deserve to be ranked?
I think when you... When you win a national championship, I don't care if you're starting quarterback league, you still deserve to be ranked.
Okay.
Top 25, but it still doesn't mean anything. The ranking don't mean anything until week 5. All
right. Well, that's talk about. You know, King Al, you know about college football. I ain't gonna lie, I'm not the biggest college football fan like I used to be, thanks to Rodriguez. But which other games caught your attention?
I mean, it was really Georgia. I think Georgia's coach is going to get fired. This is going to be his last year. They lost to South Carolina. I mean, that was an outstanding game, to be honest. They just can't win. I mean, they had a bad season last year. They're starting 0-2. They lost to Boise State. And, you know, they needed to beat Boise State for him to really keep his job. They lost to South Carolina. It's just not looking good for him. And the SEC is getting tougher and tougher. I'm looking forward to see the Florida State versus Oklahoma game Saturday night. I'm not a fan of neither. I think Florida State quarterback is overrated. I think the ACC is horrible, so they probably are going to win it unless Maryland does something amazing to me.
Oh, Virginia Tech, they always win it. That's Virginia Tech's division.
Yeah,
always
but not this year to me. I think Florida. One thing about Florida State defense is outstanding. I'm not gonna lie, Florida State defense is outstanding. But their offense needs a lot of work. EJ Emanuel, he's not good. He's not polished yet. The game, I believe, is at Oklahoma.
It's in Florida State. I think so.
If it's at Florida State,
I got to check it out. I think it's at Florida State. Yeah. I think in the heading it had Oklahoma versus Florida State, and usually the second team is the home team. Usually, I could be wrong. Usually, though,
I thought it was a Texas stadium.
It's in a neutral site. Maybe it's a neutral site.
Yeah, that neutral site goes out the window.
Yeah, it's definitely not a neutral site.
It's no such thing as a neutral site.
I saw the second name, but I think you pretty much. But we went going to since you got into the basically you highlighted the game. What do you think? Preview the game. Like, what's the intriguing thing? Like for instance. Will Oklahoma's wide open offense be too much for the Florida State defense?
It's going to be difficult because Florida State defense is strong, and Oklahoma offense isn't that fast. You know, they got their wide receiver, I think the name's Stills. He's pretty fast, but their possession receiver, he's really not that fast. The running back is really it's not really strong, but Landry he reads the defense very very well. It's going to be an interesting matchup. I must say, I'm going to go with Oklahoma. However, because I don't feel like Emmanuel is a threat offensively, and I think Oklahoma can outscore Florida State. But Florida State's special teams is something mean.
With Reed. I think that they fired the senior coach. I'm gonna go with Florida State. I think that.
Well, wait a minute. I might have to change that. The game is in Tallahassee. Damn, Tallahassee. Yeah, I'm going to change it. In Tallahassee, because unlike NFL.
Yeah, the home matters.
Field, yeah, home field matters in college football.
Unless you dominate. Unless you play a sorry team.
No, because you play a sorry team.
Alabama. Dominate Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, but it's very rare that a good team goes to a sorry team. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Nah, Florida State will win. I didn't realize it was at Tallahassee. That changes everything because Oklahoma runs a quick offense. They're not gonna be able to hear their snap or hear the read very well. So it's going to change a lot. And also their middle linebacker Lewis is still injured, and I don't think he's going to be playing. It's going to be an interesting game. If Ohio State gets blown out, they drop out from being number one.
Ohio State's number one.
Yeah. I'm in the Ohio. I'm sorry, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Oklahoma's
number one. Oklahoma's
number one. If Oklahoma loses, they drop off from number one. FSU wins, they're in national championship contention. Well, they are right now.
Well, I mean, you mentioned EJ Manuel. Obviously, you're picking Florida State. So, I guess you think that EJ Manuel is going to outplay Landry Jones?
No. I think the defense. I think it's going to be a lot of special teams and defensive help. I think Florida State defense is outstanding, and their special teams are outstanding as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they scored a touchdown off their special teams. Kickoff return, punt block, something. Landry will get hit, and he will get hit hard, and that would change his mindset.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Landry Jones will have a good game. I think it's going to be on the defense, and the Florida State defense will come to play. I have Florida State winning that game. I'm not that high on Oklahoma this year. I don't think Oklahoma's that strong of a team, actually. But, you know, we'll see. Well, it seems like this show is about over, Al. I'm not going to lie to you. It's 118. I think we did a great job for me, a two-man show. I wish I could play my Chicago Bulls thing again with the announcement at the close, but it won't happen. So I'm just going to close out and wrap this show up.
This is the only week, too, that it's actually going to have two ranked teams playing each other.
It's week two? This is week three, right?
It's only a game? Only ranked, yeah.
It's supposed to be that way, though.
Nah, like last couple weeks been some good games.
I know. Usually it's not that, doesn't happen that early, though.
The first week is always like that.
The first week is, yeah, but not the second week.
Yeah, this is, damn, it sucks.
Yeah, college football is on and popping. Okay. Well, to listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbean.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any comments or questions, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Apple G's radio show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ApogeeZ. ApogeeZ is spelled APogeeZ. And also, you can reach us or catch us or whatever on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC. Still a fan. And I also want to give a shout out to some of the other podcast shows that help us out and follow us and give us a good insight. That is MTR the network.com. Also, I like to give a shout out to Midway Madness. Y'all know who you are. And the Epic Sports Show, and even Extra Talk. I think it's Extra Talk Sports Show. I could be wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. Thank you for listening to us. It's a great show. Al, thank you for being on the show. It's always a pleasure to have my brother on the show.
Please follow me, Nigerian King, at Twitter. You know, where I say the greatest things about USC, the best school of all time. During basketball season, it's the Duke Blue Devils. You got to love us. And please follow all the Trojans. You know, Matt Leinart, you really
are. The condoms?
Huh?
The condoms? You said Trojans.
Okay. Matt Leinart, you're really needed at Seattle. Please help Pete Carroll. Ask, demand a trade, get released, something. Really need you, Seattle. I'm a TJ fan, but I can't see no more of this bad football.
And what about...
Save a black quarterback.
And your nickname, please. Can you add that?
King Joppa Joe III. Follow me, babe.
Urban Sports Team.
Get it! Murder, you, bro.
Done.